Hey, it's Cody.
And Matt, and thanks for joining us for another episode of
The ComaCast. Matt, we're going to be diving into all things involving the LGBT community, including our own lives.
And don't forget our cats.
We don't want to forget them. The ComaCast starts now.
Podcasting from the Lone Star State in Southern California, you're listening to The Coma Podcast with Cody and Matt.
Everybody, and welcome to the ComaCast. We thank you for joining us for another episode. Today, we're going to be talking about anxiety. So if you are not new to this podcast, you know that I deal with anxiety. We've talked about it many times, but we decided it would be good to have a whole episode specifically talking about anxiety, kind of some of the things that I do to help with it. And then also, a big thing with anxiety is relationships, because you're always afraid that someone is judging you or like you don't want to bother somebody. And so we'll talk about mine and Matt's relationship, because he really does help me with my anxiety. But we'll talk about how that dynamic works all in this specific episode. But first, we're going to start off with a little icebreaker. Now, I'm excited about this one. It's another question.
And I never know what you're doing with these. You're like, oh, we're doing this. Okay.
I think this is going to be good for you, because you, one of the things that you do love doing is watching a specific type of movie at certain points. But anyway, the question is, how prepared would you be for a zombie outbreak if it happened at 3 a.m.?
Part of the year I'm likely to be awake. So I guess about as prepared as possible. Assuming it woke me up, I mean, probably about as prepared as the next person. I mean, I'm smart enough to leave the lights off and not alert people to my presence, you know? Unfortunately, I won't know how many people and things become finger foods. So, you know, I have to keep everything in the dark and just kind of hide and wait until it's time to move, because I don't know. You can't stay in one place. You will die. Moving is terrifying because you could run into something, but if you stay in one place, you're likely to get overrun. So you have to kind of stay on the move until you find a safe place. Yikes. Probably not very. Did you write this question yourself?
You know, guys, he watches zombie movies, and so I thought this was a great one.
When do I watch them, Cody? When am I most likely to watch them?
I believe it's when you get stressed out.
Yeah.
Right? So people, it's like, I'm stressed out. Let's watch a zombie movie.
Right. Because if you've listened to us before, you've probably heard me say this. If you're having a really bad day and you go watch Dawn of the Dead, yeah, you might be having a bad day, but are you running from a horde of the undead that are trying to chew on you? No. Perspective.
Yes. I'd say I would be probably pretty prepared. I'm very I don't want to say I'm an extreme prepper, but I do. I think that goes hand in hand with my anxiety, which we'll mention in a little bit. But I do love zombie movies. I love zombie movies and zombie TV shows. I don't know. It's something about it. I think it's just I just love. But I have to say, after that we've been going through this whole pandemic and everything, there's so many people who would get bitten and would not tell you they got bitten.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I already knew it was a high number, but after this pandemic situation and people are, I'm going to have a small group, and then everybody else, sorry, I cannot associate with you because I don't trust you.
You won't have to, probably about 10 days.
So anyway, there's that. We want to know, are you prepared for a zombie outbreak? Respond to us on Twitter, because we'd love to see. And how would you be prepared? What would you have, or what would you do to be prepared for that zombie outbreak? Okay, coming up next, we're going to be talking about, oh my goodness, my anxiety. Yay. Okay, that's next. And we are back. So anxiety. It's something I deal with.
This was Cody. I did not.
Yeah, he's not forcing this on me. No, I think it's important, because we mentioned it here and there, but we never really specifically talked about it a lot. Now, as far as anxiety, I think that I have had anxiety all my life. I think in probably the last 8 to 10 years, it's gotten worse than it had been, because it kind of was non-existent for a period of time. I think when I was a kid, I did have some anxiety, and I think there probably is some other things there. But I do remember bits and
pieces when I was a kid and not wanting to go to school and being really anxious about going to school. And then I'd work myself up. And then, you know, working yourself up causes you to throw up. And then I don't go to school. And, you know, then that plays into a whole other mental game of, oh, well, I got to stay home from school by doing this. And not that you're purposely doing it then, but you're mentally, your mind just takes over and does its own thing. And anxiety is that. It just takes over and whatever. So I do know when I was a kid, different things like that, but nothing super extreme. And then later on, junior high, high school, college, working at the TV station, very little anxiety about anything really. And then before I was about to move to San Diego, I started having like this random weird situation that happened. Now, I didn't seem like that. I was nervous. Obviously, that was a big step for me. I left doing TV after 10 years as a producer. And so that's a big step. But I started having like tingling in my fingers and tingling in my feet. And that totally scared me. I started freaking out.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought I would sleep it off and it wouldn't go away. So then I ended up calling my mom because I got really nervous about it. And like, I guess I got really nervous about it because like, I remember when I was a kid that my grandfather had tingling in his hands and feet, and then he had a brain tumor. And so since I was little, I guess that was just ingrained in my head and far in the back. And so when it was happened to me, I just like freaked out all of a sudden. So I went to the doctor, tests were fine, whatever. They were like, we'll set you up with a neurologist and whatever. But that was going to be weeks out. But whatever, we made the appointment. And ultimately, by the time the appointment came, I think a few days before I was actually leaving to come to San Diego, it had been about 2 weeks that the numbness and tingling had gone away. But it did last, you know, a week or more. But that was my first point of really like it really like took over. And then once I moved to San Diego, there's been periods of time where I like have a heavy chest, and then sometimes the tingling comes occasionally, but all of those are physical symptoms of my anxiety. But I've learned over time that once I figure out what it is, it doesn't bug me as much. But
so Cody, before we continue, because one thing I think people may not know, tell everybody if you don't mind kind of what your anxiety centers around, which will spiral off into everything, you know, like so, which will set you into tailspin.
So I think my anxiety gets kicked off. And if we go back to when the tingling happened in my grandfather, it all stems off of health issues. Or like if something happens, I think that this is a health issue or that this is a symptom of a health issue. And then obviously, it just snowballs, and then, you know, your body takes over, and then you start thinking you have this symptom and this symptom and then this symptom. And then before you know it, you have like five different symptoms.
And, so you guys might notice this is probably the most you've seen Cody get animated ever, because you don't, you keep very reserved when we tell you, you know, you'll let me get passionate, but you very rarely will. You'll just kind of sit there and kind of, meh, you know. Which is super important. So I'm glad you chose this episode, because I think one of the things it holds you back, because you don't want to get passionate, because you start worrying about ramifications of taking a more firm stand on something or like getting passionate, and that goes. So you guys, I see Cody, of course, I see him off camera. We talk, we've been friends. We are friends, obviously, outside of this. And, you know, like you're saying, the tingling. Their idea of, I think, remember at one point Justin was like, I am banning WebMD from your phone. We are done.
Well, yeah, because if any little tiny little thing happens, I immediately Google it. And then obviously it's the worst thing. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it's the worst thing to do, because basically, you know, my friend Gabe always says, you have a hangnail, you're going to Google that, you're going to say you're dying of cancer in like 3 days.
Yeah, it's kind of like WebMD. How it's like, and oh, yes. WebMD, I have a headache, WebMD, and it'll be your last, you know?
No, but that's definitely, you
know,
true.
Right, it is. And with you, it's something, it's almost like hypochondria on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trying to explain to people when you hit that level, who do you like, what's the next thing that happens? So because we've talked about it before a little bit, like, you know, where you'll get really worked up And you talked about, you know, the symptoms, but what does that mean for what the next thing you're going to do out loud is?
So normally, you know, I start doing this, and again, I do Google things, which is the worst thing, but then, sometimes I won't. I've gotten really good at not doing it in recent years, but occasionally, but I'll try to like just deal with it myself. But then there are certain points in time when I can't deal with it myself, and it just like overwhelms me, and I just really start panicking. And then so then I'll either like talk to Justin about it, or talk to Gabe about it, or I'll text Matt talk to him about it. And then it's just talking through this whole issue, and then they all three have the same responses back. In general, and but the thing that happens,
which is interesting, none of the three of us have ever talked about it with each other. By the way,
no,
I've never texted either of them and been like, "Oh, Cody on it again." You know, we never ever do that. We support Cody 150%.
I think you know that's one of the things. I don't worry about it as much anymore. I used to worry about it a lot when, a lot of my strong anxiety started occurring in the last 10 years. But early on, I would get really worried about going to Justin or Gabe or whatever, or some of my other friends or whatever at the time. And then now Matt, less so Matt, because I have, you know, by the time me and Matt, I had started waning my worries about this. But a big thing that I've hear other people talk about and that I personally have dealt with is that you get worried because you start repeating yourself. But the only way that kind of calm you down, or the only way that I can calm down, is repeating myself. Then them saying, it's OK, it's fine. You shouldn't have done this. You're fine. That's not what this is. Whatever, 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 whatever. Right. And then,
yeah,
then
we don't tell Cody that it's fine. We don't tell him, what a good thing you did by kicking the crap out of yourself. We acknowledge whatever the thing he did, but we also say, but you don't have to keep doing that. And I find it, you start working through, like if we start recording and you're here, if we just let you just talk about it, like it just immediately starts going down. It's almost like you need that face-to-face conversation, just kind of like a blow-off valve, you know, like the pressure's too high. And if you can just have a genuine moment to just be yourself, you're good. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the things that me personally, it helps, is that conversation. I think one of the other things is a lot of people, you know, in response, some people are like, oh, you're fine. It's not anything. You shouldn't be anxious. There's nothing to be anxious about. Matt and them don't do that, you know, at all. Like they'll sit there and talk with me. But the thing is, I start repeating myself, but then they still talk with me and whatever. And it works, works out. But that's one of the things, in repeating yourself, you feel like you become a burden then, and that you're annoying people, and that you're annoying, you know, your significant other or your friends or your family by repeating the same thing, because many times it's the same issue. And maybe it's happening this week, and then like in a month it happens again, almost exactly the same, but you're repeating yourself and you start getting worried that people are judging you or that you're annoying people.
Which makes the anxiety worse. Exponentially worse. I can definitely tell when you've hit that point, when you finally are like, because you usually don't tell me, hey, I want to talk. You just kind of like launch into it, and I'll open my phone and see a text and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and I'm there, you know, like I know. But the thing is acknowledging that, yeah, this is a thing, because there is no such thing as telling you like, oh no, that's not a thing. Well, it really could be a thing. It's just highly unlikely for you because, you know, this is why. Because we also have, you guys have probably seen us interact. We're very honest and direct with Cody, because I can't not be, like, I cannot like sugarcoat it, because he will just be like, oh, he's just lying to me to make me feel better. So I can't do that. Like, he's not seven, you know,
Yeah, I think that's, I started not worrying about annoying people, because, you know, I do have this core group of people that I know that I can go to if I get really anxious about something or I'm worrying about something, even if it's the stupidest, dumbest thing. I realize it's the stupidest, dumbest thing. And in reality and practicality, I know it's not an issue.
Well, I know that I can still go to them. Well, it seems better once you stick it out loud. Like, when it's all in your head, to me, when it's all in your head, it's almost like, you know, like when everything's really scary when you're a kid, but then you get up and turn the damn lights on and the sun comes out and everything's fine. You just you build it up because it's in your head. You know, you're not supposed to get out of bed. You know, you can't go tell anybody there's monsters under the bed. But as an adult, it's almost like the adult form of that because it's all in your head. You're trying to do it all yourself. And when you can talk to another human being, it's like, OK, I'm OK. And like you said, the reassuring you that, no, you're not a burden. You're fine. It's OK. We can talk about this because we do acknowledge that, like, yes, you are repeating yourself and that's okay. That's all right. Just if that's what you need to do. Honestly, I don't know why people get mad at people for doing that, for things like how they handle their anxiety, because that is a whole lot easier than some of the other behaviors that certain things will bring out of people. I'm like, if all you do is repeat yourself and you just need me to listen and communicate with you, sir, we're doing good.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, I don't think that I have like an extreme case of anxiety. I know other people may have way worse anxiety issues. And so I think for me, one of those things is, like you said, being able to talk to somebody and just talk it out, like game it out. This is what's happening. And a back and forth conversation. And very shortly, like Matt says, it starts to wane. I start to relax and then I'm fine. I think that kind of goes to like a little bit, you know, you can always go and talk to somebody, an expert about this, if you're able to. I know it's very expensive, but if your insurance can cover some sorts, obviously there's a lot of things online that you can do just right, virtually. And then there's other apps that you can do that I have like downloaded that are free apps that can help you do like cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's just like back and forth. And it's almost like I am, you know, chatting with Matt or something. Yeah, there's this one app that I use. It's called like WeBot, and it's free. And it kind of is the same thing as talking to somebody. And so like it'll occasionally message you, how's your day going? And then you respond and it responds back and forth. Obviously, it's like an AI and there's some generic messages back and forth. But, you know, it kind of plays it out as cognitive behavioral therapy will do, in that, you know, basically making you realize that you shouldn't be worried about a certain situation. You know, is this bad or is this bad? Like, what is making you worry about that? Should you actually be worried about that? What is the fear in whatever it is that you're worrying about? And so it'll help you through that. So, you know, that's one of the big steps is cognitive behavioral therapy. And Justin had always been on me from the beginning. You need to do that. You need to do that, whether it's going to talk to somebody or using an app or whatever. Right, you know, something. There's plenty of options.
Right. Because doing something is important. And yeah, I'm a huge proponent of counseling and therapists, you know, whatever is the best fit for you. And, you know, every person is different. Like, you guys have probably heard me, I don't want to say berate Cody, but be like, oh my God, you were given Xanax to try if to see if it works. Try it and tell us if it works. If it doesn't work, then okay, like, let's try something else. But, you know, it's really wild because Cody and I work, so we're using us as an example because you guys see both of us every day, or well, every episode. But it matters because we have to find what works best for Cody. And it's really important that if he considers me part of his support network with something that impacts his life so much, then it's really important because he communicates these things with me. It's super important that I'm listening, retaining what he's telling me, and understanding the options he's using, so that I know how best to listen to him. Because, you know, medications have side effects. You know, some medications do not work for some people and some work spectacularly.
And I think in that, you know, not being worried or afraid to go to your doctor to talk about it, I know it's right, getting easier. You know, mental health is more in the open and more people are talking about it. You know, a lot of celebrities are talking about it, and people, for some reason, you know, if a celebrity is talking about it, it makes them feel like, oh, well, if they're dealing with that and they have everything that they have, I can talk about it. And so I think that is a good thing. But so I think it's being more open now and being able to, but not being afraid, you know, to just talk to your doctor about it, because they're there to help you. And especially if you have a good relationship with your doctor, which, you know, can be difficult at times.
Right.
But also another thing is like identifying and learning those triggers that trigger that anxiety. And so that's some of the things that we mentioned already is that, you know, when I have something happen or whatever, and then like I Google something, you know, and then that really starts a trigger. But, you know, maybe don't looking stuff up. You know, I try, like, if there's an issue, then I like immediately just go talk to Gabe or Justin or Matt without looking anything up. And then that lessens the anxiety.
We can all tell when he has or hasn't. If you watch, if you think on this video, just this one from when Cody started talking about it, where his pitch was, his body language to where he's sitting now, now that the topic is out there and he's sharing a little more openly, he's already like his shoulders are relaxed, his facial expressions relaxed. He is. You can almost feel him exhale if you watch his body language. Sorry, Cody. I couldn't tell you that I was watching that until now because I didn't be for the video.
Yeah.
Because we spend a lot of time, we talk about a lot of sensitive issues, and a lot of times we use me as an example because my life has just been freaking weird. and so we spare Cody some of that because we don't want to set him on fire. You know, that is not something he wants. That is not normally, that's one of us kind of has to step in it for. To express the story, because why are we talking about something if we have no background on it, right? You know, yeah. So if it's on my side, okay, well, we have plenty to work with. There's a lot of drama. but we don't put Cody in that position because we don't want to trigger his anxiety. We want to him to be functional and happy and to be able to do what he wants to do. And he shouldn't have to reveal or share something he doesn't want to share for a podcast. And neither of us would ever want that for the other. So we had lots of topics to choose from. So it's a lot of times if you hear something personal it comes from me, that's why, you know, I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm not
it.
Forcing Matt to reveal his true life story.
We sat down and we put together a list of things that we do or don't want to do. You've heard some of the spontaneous things that have happened and we just left the record button on and went, but we let Cody just sort of like kind of just do his own thing and work. Because initially you were going to work behind the scenes. Like you were going to kind of produce and put it together, and basically Cody's going to be in my ear directing the podcast because I thought he had the most expertise and I was right. But I also thought it would be so good to have you. I wanted Cody on this podcast. I knew when I thought of this idea, I met you like 6 months before. I knew I wanted you to do this with me. I knew it. But I also even knew then 3+ years ago you struggled with anxiety at times. And I think at that time you were at a lower point with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say we were at the point you definitely had started talking to me about it, but it definitely would take me a lot of convincing to be like, Cody, you're not a burden. I literally am working on my bachelor's degree in psychology. I promise you're not a burden. You know, like I almost had to like give you a resume of why I wasn't bothered. Then of course, as you got to know me better, you're like, oh, girl, he fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things I think with anxiety is you feel like you are a burden and you don't want to talk it out. But that's, I think for me anyway, that's one of the biggest important things is talking about. I think for most people, it would be talking it out. It's
definitely
and realizing
in our early conversations about it of you being like, I don't know. And I finally got you to talk to me on FaceTime once when I first really was like, I wanted to pitch this idea of the podcast to you. And I thought we talked about it via text and you were like, yeah, that sounds cute. Like we'll get to it. I'm like, oh no, we're not doing the gay boy shit. If you get back to me in 2 years, I want to talk about it now. And I knew I could feel your anxiety through the phone. I was like, no, call me. I will call you. I will pitch it. And same thing. You were here. I could feel you were here. You did not want to answer that phone call.
Well, like, because, you know, that's like another anxiety thing of like, you know, that first, I think everyone deals with this a tiny bit, you know, like, it's like,
but I wasn't having it. Like you have to, I would say,
I did. Hang on real quick. I did hear a joke about why millennials don't like answering the phone. If you listen to like watch any scary movie, there's always the killer on the other side of the phone.
Well, we grew up with Scream. But, you know, I would say with you, this is very individual. I did not recommend just testing this out on your friends. But like between Cody and I have to kind of pick my battles of when I'm like, no, we're going to face this. And I'm here. I'm with you. I'm holding I will hold your hand. But we've got to do this so we can accomplish this thing. I wasn't willing to step forward on the podcast doing it without we had the opportunity to talk. Well, face-to-face So we were going to talk face to face if we were going to move it forward. And sometimes being my friend is a little traumatic. Would you agree? But it was one of those things. I picked that battle very carefully, and then I never asked him to do it again, like until it was time to do this, you know, and that wasn't easy for him. I mean, I didn't exactly want to do it either. I don't have an anxiety about that. I was nervous, but more so because I thought you just weren't going to want to do it. Not because I thought you would be like screaming at me or anything, but we were like, oh, I didn't know if you would have the spine to be like, I want to be friends. I like us being friends, but this isn't a project I want to involve myself on. I picked a battle hoping that I'd put you in that position to not to force confrontation, but we had to have this confrontation and discussion to make sure we could do this together. Because if we can't talk about that, how are we going to do this? This requires, you're talking about sensitive subjects all day. Yeah. This triggers me. So, you know, that's a sensitive thing that you have to pick. And there are times when Cody is like, I hate when you do this. I love you for it, but I also hate it. You'll come to me with something with the intent, knowing what I'm going to say, to kind of force it out of me, to get me to kind of like, Cody, you know, to like get you to like almost virtually shake you shoulders and be like, let's go. Because, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, you don't want to make your friend feel bad. You don't want to be harsh with them. You want to be compassionate and to hug them and say, it's all right. We're walking together. And sometimes, unfortunately, Cody knows I'll do this if he puts me in the right position. That I'm going to hold his hand and we're going to walk forward, even if you're screaming at me. We're going. With love.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a position I think you've intentionally put me in before, because I don't live in your house. So I'm kind of like, you know, outside perspective. And, you know, we have a very open door policy with each other. Like, you're one of the only people I definitely, when I see on my phone, I am there.
Yeah. And I'm very thankful. I think it's important that you do actually, one of the things is that you do have that close friend or someone that you can talk with about this, because it definitely does help. Especially if you don't have like a huge amount of anxiety, a friend is just able to be there and help you get through that. I think another one of those things that, you know, as Matt mentioned, like medication. So when you do go to the doctor and them helping you with any medications that may be necessary. And sometimes maybe you just get medicine. Like if you're afraid of flying and you're really anxious about flying, they'll give you medicine for those periods of times.
Right.
Another thing, you know, is just like, there is some data, you know, looking at things that you eat that can help trigger, things, or some things that can help you relax.
Overdoing it on the caffeine. Can definitely, yeah.
That can be a bad thing. And then also, like, again, I'm a big proponent of like, this helps with, you know, many, many things, but like going out and just like not necessarily doing like a full workout and exercise and lifting weights, but just like walking around the neighborhood or doing a little jog around the neighborhood can definitely help. Exercise definitely can help my anxiety, because it just like puts me in a different mindset, because a lot of anxiety is your mindset, and you get stuck in this mindset and then it just snowballs, gets worse and worse and worse until you can get it to stop, and then you can get it to relax. You know,
for you, it's like what I've observed for you is that sometimes like a really horrible merry-go-round. And yes. I watch, you know, and it's, you know, it's not fun to watch. It's terrible, because I can see how frustrated you are, and I can see you want the episode to be over. You are, especially about that point when you realize like how you feel like you're being irrational and you're frustrated with yourself, and you're telling me how frustrated you are with yourself, but your heart rate is still up here. And, you know, I think you've heard me talk about, well, Cody, when you brought up about having your watch tell you your vitals, and I'm like, no. For most people, whatever. I'm like, no.
Because I love my Apple Watch.
Right. But on the wrong day, it can send him to the freaking moon.
And, well, because, you know, now it does the blood oxygen. So,
yeah, you know. Yeah, I know. And, you know, it's really hard, because you want your friends to be happy and healthy because you want them to be safe and feeling good. And so, of course, if Cody's taking good care of his health, that means he feels good. However, there are extremes to that. It's the same thing as skinny doesn't mean healthy and fat doesn't mean or overweight. I'll use that in quotes if you can't see me, because healthy is a range and feeling, you know. Lots of people, I see this all the time where they are like, oh, well, they're overweight, so they're not healthy, but their numbers are fine. They're feeling good. They're happy. Their mindset is great. They feel good. The only problem is other people getting shitty with them. Stop it. Yeah. You're not them. Leave them alone. And I see you on this merry-go-round, and I'm just like, sometimes there is something we can talk about to kind of get you there. And other times you're like, I just need help changing the subject. And yeah. So luckily I'm weird and awkward as hell. So there's usually something running through my brain where I'm like, well, hey, can we talk about this? And you're like, what the hell is that? I don't know, but let's talk. And I don't mean that in the sense of he's in the middle of a crisis and I'm making funny faces at him. That's not what I'm saying. Cause that is how people get set on fire. I mean, when they're ready to change the subject, but their brain isn't willing to let go, that's when you kind of ease it to a different way to try to get them to think about something else when they are done talking about it. Because there's times when you're like, I am so done talking about this, but my brain is still racing. So can we talk about something else?
Yeah.
And I let you direct the conversation as much as possible. And that doesn't mean the moment he starts repeating himself, because he needs to get it out of him. So it might be some days it's 2 times, some days it's 10. I don't care. And I've told you that. Like I have told, if you think your friends know that you don't care that how they do this and that it's okay to remind them that you don't mind and that you're here and not just give one word answers. Like yeah. Cody and I engage. And
yeah,
that's part of it. And that's how I try in my own, that's my love language with Cody, is that I reassure him by staying fully engaged in the conversation. You know, the probing questions, it's like the equivalent of appropriate eye contact and full conversation, not canned phrases or one word answers. It's tell me specifically what did something trigger this? Yes. What were you doing when it happened? And if I can get Cody to start telling me, sometimes it helps him figure it out. Mm-hmm. Other times I know exactly what I was doing. This happened and my brain is racing. Okay. Take off your Apple Watch and don't Google. Luckily you are right though. You've gotten really good about that. I'm very proud of you. Cause I think there was one day I was like, I'm a text Justin and be like, can you block Google from your computers for the day?
He could too.
You needed a break. Like you were really, I want to feel like you didn't feel good or something. That's another time. Like if you have like,
yeah, when I'm not feeling good.
And so you didn't get any sleep the night before. Salem and Ella were fighting all night and morning and you just hadn't slept and you were extra tired, which by the way, makes everything worse.
And yeah, I mean,
That was one of the worst episodes I can remember. And when Justin got sick.
Yeah. I mean, that one was really bad.
He
was
really okay. And he really was fine. I could tell, like, what Cody was telling me, I knew what was going on. And Cody is here. He is, I mean, he's on bars. And Cody's like, I need this to happen. I'm like, you need to sit the fuck down.
That was the worst anxiety.
I think that's actually what I said.
Yeah.
I think I actually did say that. I was like, no, you need to sit the fuck down and breathe. Because sometimes that is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. But I said that once in 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's those simple things like that where, like, you know, I may have a sinus issue, but then it'll go on a few days and a while. And then.
Oh, yeah.
I'll start being like, well, it's not that, it's this, or other people. So like, you know, Justin being sick. Or even like a lesser extent. But if Justin gets sick, or like if something's wrong with Matt, or something's wrong with Gabe, or like anybody in my close bubble, I'm really careful.
I am honest with Cody about what's going on in my life, because I feel like it's actually helpful for him to hear it and to hear like me be calm and be okay with it and let him ask me questions and talk about it and be fascinated. So I encourage that open dialogue, because I actually have weird ass health issues that he doesn't have. So like him seeing me talk about it and be okay with it, it's kind of like the same reason I share really personal things, you know, that I have long dealt with, excuse me, because it might help somebody else that is experiencing maybe something similar or something that they can relate to. And that, one, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Two, it may not be okay right now, but it can be. And, you know, you all have your own, we all have our own choices. Just sometimes I always hated that one. They're like, oh, well, you can always make the better choice. No, sometimes you just have to make the choice that hurts the least. And that one still hurts a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So I share all these things with Cody and, you know, like the low testosterone thing that causes a myriad of symptoms that has just not been fun. But I'm honest about it because it's really hard to hide something like that when he can see that, like, if my rash is like particularly bright that day, I am literally on camera in front of a ring light. Like, he can see everything. Yeah. He can hear my tones. He edits our videos and audio. So he plays it through a couple times. Being honest is just easier and it's better for both of us. And it encourages that two-way street. And if I can be honest with Cody, it helps him speak easier to me, because how can I convince him that he's not a burden to me if I can't even tell him the truth about what's going on in my head? Because once he starts thinking, oh man, he didn't tell me about that because, you know, I burden him with all my issue. There we go. We're done. Foster.
Yeah, exactly. Honesty.
Now, there is time and place. There are times where I wanted to tell you something, but it was going to be over text message. I'm like, I'm going to wait till video, because if I say this over text, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Like, appropriate time and place, or to make sure that, because I know when we're here, this is a safe zone for us to talk. You're not about to get in the car and go to dinner, and I'm about to say something that, without the proper context or good explanation, isn't maybe the best time to tell you.
You know, it's just having an open conversation, open dialogue, is just super important. one of those things, you know, wrapping this up with anxiety is, you know, there's multiple levels of anxiety, like general anxiety disorder, separation anxiety disorder. There's list goes on and on and on. That's one of those things, you know, if you look at, you talk with your doctor and those that can help you specifically fix those triggers or fix what may need to be done, because, you know, each of those particular anxiety issues have different reactions. You know, with anxiety, it might be something you always are living with, but you can lessen it. You can know how to deal with it, and it becomes less of a burden on you on a day-to-day basis. And ultimately, you can have a free life, I guess, and not always feel like you're just like overwhelmed with that anxiety. There is light at the end of the tunnel. So if you are having anxiety, you know, it's always good to talk out with your friends. Me and Matt have always said that we're here to, if you just need to chat and talk and be open. And again, like, if you're able to talk to your doctor or somebody, they also are able to be a big help in helping you work through
the anxiety. And doing something is better than nothing, because I would say, I think in what I've just observed and things you've talked about, I think you've just come really far in the last several years. And yes, I know it's gotten worse for you in some ways, you know, about 10 years ago, but in the last 3 or 4, like, I was very, when COVID started, I was like, this might be a very difficult season to record. Because I didn't know. We didn't know which direction you were going to go with it. But I would say you've made really great strides in working really hard to learn to live with and overcome rather than try to pretend it doesn't exist. You know, and which is, again, one of the reasons that we encourage so much honesty between us, because I don't want Cody to just, I'm not just here when Cody's having a great day. I'm here for all those days. So I always try to encourage him to just be. I don't care which Cody I have. I just need to know which one, so I know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to know which direction to turn the weird dial, you know, but it's the way I know to encourage Cody to just be himself. And I don't want him to hide it. I don't want him to, you know, if he wants, he needs to always have that space with me to talk. And I think that's something I was hoping to encourage when we did this episode, that anybody that's listening, that maybe if you have a close friend that's struggling with their anxiety, I mean, from what you've told me, you said the best thing I do is just let you just be. I don't try to change Cody. There's nothing I can do to make it go away. All I can do is just help him live with it And from my part, in our part of our relationship and the parts of his life that I impact, do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't cost you anything to be kind. And so provide that open, caring space for your friends.
Very well said. Although I do wish sometimes that Matt actually was a wizard and could just take it away.
Me too. But if I continue with nursing, I might be, one of my future goals is, since I have a psych degree and I'm getting my nursing degree, is becoming a nurse practitioner in psychology. So I'd be able to assist. That's one of my potential. It's on the top, like probably three of things I think I'm considering. But.
And y'all, how great is it? I'm going to have a nurse friend. How perfect for my anxiety.
Yeah. And if you've heard me say this before, like, great. So you can have somebody else to not listen to.
Well, everybody, we hope that this has been enlightening or maybe helpful. Of course, if you are dealing with anxiety or anything like that, or just need to talk to somebody, you can always message me and Matt on Twitter or Instagram or wherever else you can connect with us, or on the ComaCast Twitter. And we can respond with you and interact with you and talk with you privately. Obviously, we won't do it in open channel, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right. But it will not have to be a public conversation. Just you can DM us on the ComaCast if you don't care which one of us gets back to you, if you just have a general question. But if you really want to talk, obviously, you can always DM Cody or myself. We do actually answer our DMs.
Yeah. And love making new friends. So if you haven't interacted with us, we're here. But anyway, we'll leave it at that for now. And we hope all of you have a great rest of the week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
So, hey guys, we want to remind everyone that you can keep in touch with us on all of our social media channels, whether that is Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can do all of that at the ComaCast.
And we definitely love to interact and hear from all of our listeners. All of this is not possible without you guys.
And if you don't mind rating our podcast on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast provider is, just leave a comment. It's greatly appreciated.
And thank you for joining us.
See you next time. We'll